All right, welcome, folks, to the situation update for Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. Mike Adams here. This is going to be another short podcast for reasons I explained on Monday, but I am able to get you something here, although I apologize for my feature story being late on naturalnews.com. Everything's late. Everything's delayed because I'm engaged in some intensive days of what I think I described as skills acquisitions. Yeah, so that's what's going on right now. I want to talk about China today. As you know, there's a mass uprising in China because of the insane zero COVID policies that caused these horrible lockdowns, people being welded shut in their own buildings, and then fires breaking out and people dying, roasted alive, and then a lot of protests stemming from that and so on. So Jack Posobiec describes this, I think, accurately as a slave uprising in China. And Jack Posobiec, by the way, is one of the few people, one of the few Americans that I'm aware of who speaks fluent Mandarin, you know, speaks Chinese, and he lived in, I think, was it Beijing where he lived? I'm not sure, but he lived there a couple of years. Where I lived in Taiwan, Jack Posobiec lived in China, and he speaks Chinese or Mandarin. He speaks it more fluently than do I, by the way. His vocabulary is much more vast than my own. I'm really quite impressed. He's very good. But he also has a lot of knowledge about China, and he's able to interpret the situation there, I think, quite accurately. He's doing a great job. What I want to point out is that, if you may recall, earlier this year, I interviewed J.R. Nyquist. And do you recall that recording that was from the Chinese generals, the secret recording that was leaked out of China, that was talking about China's plans to load up all these merchant ships and apparently to wage some kind of an attack? And J.R. Nyquist and others seem to believe that this could be eventually an invasion of the United States. Remember that? Well, that hasn't gone away. And I just want to remind you that part of that plan was that China would deploy its own special forces to quell the uprisings in its own cities. And so when you look on what's happening right now in China, you see it in the news, you see the videos, you're watching alternative media, and you see all these armored personnel carriers and even some actual tanks and so on rolling into these areas in China where they have these uprisings. When you see that, I want to remind you that this was something we knew was coming as part of the invasion plan against the United States. In other words, what was really being talked about was probably an assault on America involving nuclear weapons. And I don't mean nuking every city, but nuking military bases in America, unloading merchant ships, maybe having nuclear missiles, short-range missiles launched from the containers as the Chinese vessels are sitting offshore. And then after those nukes destroyed targets in the United States, China knows it will have a retaliatory strike from U.S. forces and that there would be a mass uprising of anti-war protests in China, you know, against their own government, saying, why are you doing this? You know, our citizens are being murdered by these nukes and so on. What China had already decided was that they were going to use their own military to suppress their own citizens. They knew the uprisings were coming, not only in northern China, but in southern China as well. This was very specifically named. There were many regions named around Shanghai and other areas, not just Beijing, but Shanghai. And I forgot all the regions that were named. But the point is that what we are seeing right now with the military deployment domestically in China, this is in fact consistent with the warnings that we heard from people like J.R. Nyquist and others. What was her name from Hong Kong? Dr. Yan Limong. She is, well, or in English, people usually say what? Li Meng Yan, I believe. Or in Chinese, it's Dr. Yan Limong. So anyway, she was one of the whistleblowers, and there were others involved, and they ferreted this information out of China. So here we are. And then if you go onto Steve Quayle's website right now, there's something happening that I want to read for you that may be relevant to this. I'm going to bring it up. This is from stevequayle.com. Emergency alert. Chinese graduate students recalled from a major university pertaining to Chinese unrest and prepping for war or removing their soldiers prior to a nuke attack on the U.S. So there is a Chinese national who's been reaching out to Steve, and part of that message is that I'm teaching at the University of Bleep, and because that's redacted. I teach graduate level math classes with a lot of Chinese students. Since Monday, most have been recalled home. I believe most are CCP regular army reserve, not Chinese National Guard. A Chinese National Guard are the white suited guys with machine guns. More than two dozen Chinese students left yesterday and today with 4 weeks left in the semester. Oh, it's hard to get a graduate student to leave before the end of the semester. Most foreign students maintain intense studies at this point in the semester. There are very few withdrawals, normally, or new incomplete attendance among students who have gotten this far in the graduate program. This may be related to the unrest in China. And he's asking if other people are seeing a similar pattern emerging. So essentially, China is preparing for war. I should say the CCP and the PLA. They're preparing for war, but a two-front war. It is a war against their own citizens, and it is also a war against the United States and the West. So both of these wars are ramping up. And remember what Klaus Schwab said, that the Chinese model is the best model, in his view, for the world. That's how every nation should be run, is the Chinese model of a slave nation with a totalitarian dictatorship where you have no freedoms whatsoever. You're tracked. You're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to express views of dissent against your own government. You can be disappeared. You can be murdered. You can be burned alive, welded in your own tomb, which is your apartment building, and where zero COVID policies result in essentially the mass murder of Chinese people. And Klaus Schwab thinks that's the best model for the world. So that is the model that's coming to California and Arizona, by the way, under Katie Hobbs, if she is allowed to stay in power, which I spoke about this yesterday. That's why the globalists want Hobbs in power, because they're trying to push this Chinese model of basically COVID annihilation of humanity. They're trying to push that on every state that they can control in the United States. Arizona is critical because it's also a border state. So it allows China, once the invasion is announced, China's going to move troops up from the south through Arizona, you know, across the border with the narco cartels, helping them along the way. They're going to land troops on the beaches of California and then take over the ports and use those, with Governor Newsom, you know, participating. And then China is also going to bring troops from the north through the border of Washington state, you know, from Canada. So there's going to be a three-point invasion of the continental United States from China, the south, the west, and the north. I should say the southwest, the west coast, and the northwest. And from there, then China is going to try to occupy America, take over the farmland, and exterminate the American people. And in order to do that, they're going to have to unleash biological weapons that are genetically targeted to Americans, which is very, very difficult because Americans are so diverse ethnically, right? In fact, the Chinese are not diverse. They're very homogeneous in terms of genetic code. So frankly, the Chinese could be more easily targeted with a biological weapon, although that would be evil. But they're going to try to target Americans, which means they had to have the genetic samples from the American people. And that was the whole point of COVID swabbing. So some significant percentage of all the swabs that took place over the last, two plus years, some percentage of those were scanned and then sent to China. And this all came out, by the way. This is just a little recent history. So Chinese government and, you know, basically the CCP and the People's Liberation Army, they got their hands on the genetic profiles of millions of Americans. And from that, they were able to design gain-of-function biological weapons that target the predominant genomes that represent American people. And so I don't know what that looks like, or I don't know if they have to come up with 10 different strains because Americans are so, you know, diverse. You know, some are African American, some are Asian American, some are Hispanic American, Latinos, and, you know, Europeans and whatever, people from all over the world, Italian Americans, you know, whatever, French Americans. So I don't know how they're going to do that, but that is their goal. And that is what is coming, no doubt. This is also why they had to have Biden in place, so that Biden would make sure the U.S. military stands down as China attacks. So for those of you wondering, how is China going to manage to have an ocean attack on America? Well, the answer is the commander-in-chief, Joe Biden, and the woke Pentagon are just going to order the U.S. Navy to stand down and let the invasion happen. Understand? That's all it is. I mean, that's how simple it is. So yes, I think that we're watching the initial stages of China's move into an invasion. And the lockdowns have always been part of that, to lock the people down so that they can use the streets and they can use the ports for military maneuvers and use the infrastructure and move military equipment through the roads and the streets, but essentially use the ports to load up the ships with the supplies that they're going to need to wage a war against the West. That's where I think we are. Now, every time I talk about China attacking the United States, by the way, I always get people that say, that's impossible. There's no way that China would even attempt to attack the United States. Are you kidding me? The U.S. military is the strongest in the world, and the U.S. Navy is the strongest in the world, and so on. Okay, so number one, the United States has run out of munitions because the U.S. has sent most of its munitions to Ukraine, which was all by design because China and Russia are cooperating in order to keep the war going in Ukraine so that the United States voluntarily depletes its own munitions and weapons and anti-tank systems and everything, drones, you name it. So the U.S. for the last several months, actually what, about 9, almost 10 months, has been shipping everything to Ukraine. So if China were to strike the United States or to pick a time to strike the United States, this would be the most vulnerable time. And secondly, the United States government, the current illegitimate government, the Biden regime, functions simply as a proxy for the CCP. It's communist China that helped rig the elections. It's communist China that has the blackmail on Hunter Biden's laptop, right? It's the CCP that was involved in big tech and censorship. It was the CCP that ran the gain of function experiments or development through Wuhan with the Chinese military, the PLA, running that entire operation in conjunction with Fauci and DAZAC and EcoHealth Alliance and NIAID money, i.e. U.S. taxpayer money, using samples that originally came from the U.S. military via Fort Detrick. So understand that there have long been elements of the United States military, and now the United States, you know, executive branch is run by China. And elements of the Pentagon are run by China. And all China has to do in the middle of this to really bring down the United States is to, well, arrange for the end of the petrodollar by announcing a new global reserve currency, you know, BRICS plus nations, which includes China and Russia and India and Brazil, a lot of other countries as well, all announcing a repudiation of the dollar, which would cause the economic implosion of the United States. And if the U.S. is unable to print and to sell its debt, then there's no way for the United States to fund an ongoing military campaign. And by the way, even if the U.S. had the money to manufacture the munitions that it needs, we know from the whole Ukraine story that's come out that the United States, it would take years to manufacture more anti-tank weapons, the javelins, I think they're called, or to manufacture more munitions for artillery, especially the special guided munitions and so on. It would take years to get these things done. In fact, the HIMARS long-range artillery rocket systems, when Joe Biden promised to have, what was it, like 16 or 17 more HIMARS systems for Ukraine, all that did was start the clock on something like 5 years of HIMARS manufacturing. So they'll be ready sometime. Maybe it's 3 years, maybe it's 4 years. I forgot the exact number, but it's years down the road. They won't even begin delivering HIMARS systems to Ukraine for years to come. I know they've sent a few, like, what was it, 4 or something? But I'm talking about the 16 or 17 that have been promised. Those have to be manufactured because they do not exist. So if we're already scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of munitions and anti-tank systems and drones and artillery rocket systems, you know that China's big maneuver in this is going to be just to, you know, to cut the knees out from underneath the U.S. economic system by collapsing the dollar. And that's what China is prepared to do. So you see, this is total warfare. This is something Jeffrey Prather talks about. Total warfare. Yes, it's cultural war. It's economic war. It's biological warfare. It's kinetic eventually. It's political. It's speech. All of it. But understand that China's been waging a cultural war against the United States for a long time. You know, TikTok. And the TikTok videos that are allowed to be seen in the U.S. are all pro-transgenderism and pro-homosexuality and pro-grooming and pedophilia. China will never allow their own citizens to see those kinds of videos because they know that is a cultural assault on a nation to try to tear a nation apart from the inside. So that's why China subjects the American people to what can be called an information artillery barrage. That's what that is. It's being hit by seemingly unlimited psychological artillery to rip a nation apart. That's what China is doing. And by the way, Russia won't let its own citizens be subjected to all the LGBT propaganda and grooming and all that stuff either. So the countries that have a future are countries that still believe in biological sex and reproduction, by the way, and raising healthy children. Whereas the countries that are collapsing, like the US and the UK and so on, they believe in exploiting children or murdering children through abortion or infanticide or mutilating them through transgender surgeries or indoctrinating them and so on. So just understand that there are multiple modes of warfare that are being unleashed against the United States right now. It is not just one or two modes. It is absolutely multiple layers of attacks on America. Again, cultural, economic, geopolitical, resource wars, currency wars, all of it. So in terms of the resource wars, what China has pushed the Biden administration to do is to shut down the infrastructure that keeps people alive in the United States. So this is how you're having food infrastructure destroyed and energy infrastructure. So even if America wanted to fight a war of self-defense against an invading enemy army like the Chinese military, well, you have to have diesel fuel to fight a war. You have to have pipelines that function. You have to have refineries that function. You have to have oil drilling that's operating. And Biden, because he's taking commands from China, Biden is systematically shutting those things down as rapidly as he can. And his handlers are pushing for that as well. They've done it from day one. The first day he got in the Oval Office after rigging the election, he started signing executive orders to shut down America's energy infrastructure to make sure that America was totally vulnerable to an invasion from China. And here we are nearly 2 years later, and this is exactly what's going on. So what I'm trying to help you understand is that China's war on America is just now getting underway. I mean, yeah, we've been assaulted for a couple of years with COVID and the bioweapons vaccines and cultural warfare and so on. But those are just the warm-up rounds compared to what's coming. What's coming is way worse. What's coming is China's attempt to completely annihilate the United States of America. And, you know, very few people seem to understand how dire our situation is right now. They just don't get it. And too many governors are cooperating with the CCP, and too many people in America are just standing by and thinking, oh, everything's fine. Everything's going to be like this, normal forever. And that is absolutely not the case. We are in the last days of America if we don't turn this thing around. This is the most dangerous time in the history of our nation. Far more dangerous than the Civil War. The Civil War didn't threaten the existence of the entire nation. But this current situation absolutely does. This threatens everything. The very survival of America. So, what can you do? Obviously, get prepared. Get prepared. You know, pray to God. Pray for intervention. Pray that the 2020 election gets corrected so that these CCP puppets get removed from office, because the American people didn't vote for this. And if we don't correct the 2020 election or the 2022 election, then We're in deep, deep trouble. So just keep that in mind. Now, together, in this special report podcast, you and I are going to work through the answer to the question of how are the powers that be going to force people into a central bank digital currency system or a digital wallet type of system? How is that going to be accomplished? And it turns out we can figure this out together. So join me here. We're going to just walk through this. We're going to figure this out. So number one, it has to be something that people are compelled to do. And compelling people, as we learned with COVID, is usually accomplished by the powers that be through a sense of fear. So in other words, people are going to have to move away from cash and dollars as a currency by their own choice into a digital currency system. Now, what would be the thing that would motivate people or that would scare people enough to voluntarily move out of, let's say, dollars in the bank currently to dollars in a digital wallet run by the central bank or the treasury? What would that be? And the answer becomes rather obvious. It would be fear of losing those dollars or losing the purchasing power of those dollars. And this is obvious, right? So right away, we know that whatever method they choose is going to be a method where if you decide to jump into the digital wallet, then by doing so, you will think that you're saving your money from destruction, right? So there's going to be a scenario set up where if you keep your dollars in the bank, you will lose them or most of their power, their purchasing power. Whereas if you convert them voluntarily into a digital wallet system, then you will save that money. You will be saved, so to speak, obviously, because they're trying to replace God and Jesus and everything. So your savior is going to be, you know, the globalists and their digital money system. At least that's the way they want you to think. All right. So now that we understand that, then the question becomes, well, another obvious question is, how would they cause panic that your dollars are going to be lost? Like, how would they convince the population to believe that they're going to lose the purchasing power of their dollars? How do they do that without being domineering, where they're just forcing people, oh, we're going to outlaw dollars or outlaw all cash? No, that's not the way this is going to go. They're not going to use the hammer on this. They're going to use problem, reaction, solution. They're going to create a problem and then claim that you might be a victim of that problem and then give you an alternative where they position themselves as saviors as long as you follow what they want you to do in the first place, which is to move into the digital wallet system. So what are the possibilities of how they frame this thing up? I mean, the most obvious thing is they declare that there is a global attack on the currency being waged by a foreign nation, such as China or Russia, or a group of hackers from foreign nations, for example. They could say that, oh, hackers have attacked the banking system and the banks are frozen because of hackers. And as a result, we can't trust the banks anymore. Good thing we have this centralized digital currency system ready to go, and we'll give you 100% of the credit for your dollars if you convert into this digital system, you see? Or you could leave your dollars in the banking system where all the banks are on a bank holiday and it's a giant bail-in situation and the FDIC is going bankrupt because they can't bail out everybody. So if you don't convert to the digital system, you'll just lose everything. So what would you choose to do, you see? So they're going to create an emergency. And we've learned this over and over again through COVID. When they want compliance, they create an emergency. And the more compliance they want, the bigger the emergency they create. Now with COVID, the emergency was you might lose your life if you don't do what we say, right? This is why you have to wear a mask, have to lock down, have to take a jab, have to bring your kids home from school, whatever. If you don't do what we want, you might lose your life. Well, in the digital currency system, it's a little bit different argument, but also similar. If you don't do what we want, you'll lose all your money. And since a lot of people have spent their whole lives working for the money they have in the bank, many people will do almost anything to, you know, protect the money that they've made so far, because that represents many years of their lives. Some people even are willing to die for more money. So people will do almost anything if they think that by doing so, that it will halt the loss of their money. What are you going to do without money? What are you going to do without your life savings? What are you going to do without your retirement or your pension or whatever? Whatever you have in the banking system, your IRAs, whatever you have in the stock market, your treasuries, all this stuff. So that's going to be the panic. It's going to be a mass financial panic. And importantly, the people pulling this off will never take the blame. They will blame a third party. Oh, it's them. It's those terrorists. It's those cyber hackers. It's those enemies that have caused this crisis. And we're the saviors. You see, you just follow what we tell you to do, come into the digital wallet system, and we'll give you full credit. So that's exactly how this is going to shape up. In fact, I guarantee you the digital currency system that's going to be rolled out will be presented as the solution to the panic, you know, to the disaster. And that's why this is called problem, reaction, solution, right? So they lay out the problem, cause the reaction, present the solution. So they're going to say, well, you know, a digital wallet guarantees that only you can use your money because it's tied to you biometrically. It guarantees security. If there's any theft, you know, you're covered by the Treasury or whatever, whoever's running it, the Digital Federal Reserve, whatever it is. They'll claim to have all kinds of security features in there, you know, anti-fraud features, anti-money laundering features, and so on. What they won't really tell you about, or they won't highlight, is the government control, the surveillance, the tracking, the programmable money properties, the limitations on how you can use it, but more importantly, the total loss of privacy once you're using their system. Now, the transition will take time, and they know that too, because a lot of people are going to still use cash. Some people will have cash that they saved, you know, that outside the banking system, stuffed under a mattress or what have you. Some people will still want to write checks. You know, some people will still want to use credit cards issued by the major banks. For whatever reason, I don't know, they want their points, they want their miles, whatever it is, okay? Some people are going to do that. And so the transition won't be instant, but there will be incentives for using the new system. For example, you'll get free money, universal basic income, if you use the digital wallet system. So they can say things like, okay, for every $100 you spend at the grocery store, we'll give you a $10 credit on your grocery purchases the next time you go shopping, right? So that can be a government stimulus program to try to convince people to use this system at the grocery store. And it's a way also to effectively print money and stimulate the economy and try to grow the GDP through this programmable money system. And they can also put expiration dates on this. And they can say that if you don't use this free $10 worth of credits within, let's say, 30 days, then they will expire. So then that forces people to go out and use that free stimulus money quickly or lose it. So that will actually encourage the acceleration of what's called the velocity of money in the system, which is tied to all kinds of economic indicators. So they can actually create kind of a fire sale on the free money and force people to use it as quickly as possible in order to force increases in money velocity. Now, as this is happening, of course, food inflation is getting worse the whole time, and fuel prices will be rising the whole time. And so even though wealthy people, they wouldn't necessarily need to use a digital wallet system because these incentives wouldn't mean anything to them. Oh, who cares? Extra $10 worth of groceries. But for the vast majority of people who are barely getting by and who are barely able to afford food, that 10% difference, that can mean the world to them. To them, it's worth it. Join the new system, use the digital wallet, and then they get free groceries, and then they won't starve to death, let's say. So they will gladly jump in. And that's how they're going to get most people to join this system. Now then, once they have you in this system, which again, is pretty easy for the social engineering and the psychological terrorism campaigns to push people in this direction, once they get you in the system, then they can start to assign all kinds of metadata properties to your transactions. For example, climate scores. So whatever you're buying at a grocery store, there will be the data of what you purchased will be passed to the central bank, not just the total from the grocery store, but every item you purchase. They'll know whether you purchased meat versus, you know, soy protein or what have you. And there'll be a climate score or some kind of, I don't know, maybe a carbon score, whatever they want to call it. Basically, it's a climate obedience scoring system. They will assign climate scores to all your transactions, including how much fuel you purchase, right? So if you're purchasing gasoline or diesel, you're going to be penalized. And from your purchases, then they'll be able to assign a climate compliance score or even put limits on you. That's where this is going, obviously. So at some point, you will run out of available climate credits, no matter how much money you have, you know, for the month. You'll have a climate limit, you know, how many points of climate whatever you can spend, you know, how many climate points you're allowed to accrue in a 1 month period. And if you go over that, then it cuts off your purchases of things like meat and gasoline, propane, fossil fuels, whatever, things that they don't want you to buy that they claim are bad for the climate, whatever that happens to be, okay? But as long as you stay under that climate scoring system, then you'll be, you know, sufficiently obedient to continue to be granted your free money. And they might have a monthly bonus, like if your climate score is among the top 10% or something. I mean, the best. In other words, if your climate points are really low because you haven't accrued climate points, then they might give you extra money. Like, you're a good little slave. Yes, be sure that everything you buy is, you know, climate sensitive and whatever. And you might be granted points for donating to certain groups, such as LGBT groups or left-wing groups. You might get extra credit for that. Whereas if you donate to conservative groups, you would not get anything. You might get penalized for that, in fact. So they can shape all of this. They can control it. They can penalize things. They can automatically tax. They can have penalties. They can have expired money or money that expires within a period of time and so on. And through this, they can shape social behavior, which is a form of, you know, obedience training for humans or mass enslavement. And that's the whole point. So yes, this system is coming. There's no question. They're working on the pilot projects right now. They're going to try to roll this out soon, but in order to do so, they're going to have to kind of burn down the current system. They're going to have a crisis that is just god-awful where people think they're going to lose everything, and that will be contrived. So there will be a kind of financial 9/11, essentially, you know, where the Twin Towers fall and everything's going to hell, and then you're supposed to jump in and let them rescue you with a digital wallet system, and from that point on, they have total control over you. So the anonymity of cash is going to be gone. The anonymity that you can have behind even writing checks, which is not obviously perfectly anonymous, but it's better than using a credit card, even that's going to be gone as well. And then, you know, they'll tie this into your speech on social media platforms. So if you're penalized for speaking something, let's say questioning the outcome of an election, or, I don't know, criticizing transgenderism in any way, like if you say there are only two genders or that men cannot get pregnant, you know, bing, you know, you just lost $100 of credit on your digital wallet system, and that's going to cause people to shut up. That's going to allow total control over speech. So they're going to tie everything in together, your online presence, your online speech, your paycheck, your income, your groceries, your taxes, traffic tickets, you know, everything. It'll all be controlled and monitored, surveilled by the central banks, and you will own nothing and be happy, right? I mean, you'll be a total digital slave in basically a giant prison camp where you think you've been rescued by the prison guards. So that's how bad it is. So that's the system that's coming. The best way to prepare for this, in my opinion, is to have lots of what I call off-grid resources, off-grid money, gold and silver, off-grid food, you know, gardening, stored food, the ability to grow your own food, to harvest your own food, backyard chickens for chicken eggs and things like that. Have stockpiles of stuff so that you don't have to buy them, so they can't limit you from buying them, you know, the things that you might need over time. You're going to have to be prepared to resist this system and operate outside the system, which, believe me, will be incredibly inconvenient, and that's all on purpose. So that's my overall advice. Yes, the central bank digital currency system is coming. There will be a hard push to scare everybody into it. There will be rewards for using it and punishments for not using it. And only those who are extremely well prepared will be able to resist this and maintain their souls. Because remember that if you jump into this Mark of the Beast system, you know, you've partnered with Satan. This is described in the Bible. Mark of the Beast, right? And whoever does not have the mark cannot buy or sell or trade or whatever it is. So yeah, this is coming. So just be prepared. Get ready as best you can. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com.